Many people are used to the ways that ChatGPT can help them write a better article or AI can help them make better decisions in small tasks. Today on the podcast, we are going to be talking about how ChatGPT's technology, large language models, and how AI in general is being used in the defense industry by the military and by different governments. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple big companies that have recently come out with different defense-related products in AI using large language models, and we're going to talk about some of the implications of those tools. So the first one that I wanted to cover is Palantir, because you may have heard it in the news lately. Recently, it's backed by Peter Thiel, I believe, and recently they did a demo showing one of their AI large language model kind of based AI tools that aggregates data and helps to make military decisions and operations. And when they did that, their stock, which they're a publicly traded company, because I believe that they're kind of like a data analytics software vendor, and their stock price went up 20%. So it was this big thing. And apparently they're having more demand than ever for their current software platform that they have released, which is called AIP, and that stands for Artificial Intelligence Platform. That sounds really generic, so I would have picked a better brand name, but regardless, obviously they're the ones that are incredibly successful and doing well on this, so what do I know? But in any case, essentially their company's tool can be used by militaries to tap the same AI that ChatGPT is built on, and that is to help in battlefield intelligence and decision making. So they had a recent demo video that kind of showed how their platform worked, and I watched it. It was really fascinating. But essentially what they're doing is they're analyzing intel on enemy targets. They identify potential, you know, hostile situations or things like that. Then they'll go and they'll ask the AI to propose a battle plan. And then they'll have the AI send the battle plan over to the commanding officers to kind of work on the execution. And it's honestly really impressive how this is done. There's recently another tool and company that has come out with a very similar tool called Donovan, which I'll cover in a second. But essentially, just to give you an idea of like how this works really, because when I first heard about it, it was kind of hard to visualize. If you can kind of imagine it, they have kind of like a command portal with a chat model on the one side, and on the other side is like a live satellite view of a map. And on that map, you can have different data points. Now, it's important to note that this whole system would be tied directly into all, like, it would have, like, access to all the confidential and classified information of a military, essentially, or any sort of group. So it would know the locations of your different teams, your different artillery. It would know, essentially, it's kind of like, it's interesting thinking about this like a company, but, like, you know, someone like Walmart, they have, like, point-of-sale systems. And they have different systems that track their inventory, how many, you know, bottles of ketchup are on one shelf. So military's got the same thing, except it's like how much ammo is in different locations, how many missiles does this team have, how many tanks are over here. So they have the same kind of systems that track, and all of that data is put into this tool that has a large language model. And what's really interesting about this is it is based off of your military doctrine. So I'm assuming they're probably going to have exclusive contracts with the U.S. government. That would be interesting if they were doing foreign governments, and then, you know, two governments went to war or had some sort of skirmishes, and they were both using the same sort of AI-based technology to fight each other. So I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of exclusive contracts on this kind of thing. Obviously, the defense industry spends very heavily on this, right? Like if the U.S. government could get a 20% advantage over an adversary by using an AI tool like this, I think they'd pay a lot for it, especially if it can help decrease mortalities and whatnot. So in any case, this thing plugs into all of your data, and it is integrated with more than just your data of where things are, but the ability to send out things like autonomous drones. So in the example they gave, essentially, the person said, hey, scan the map and let me know where my adversaries are on the map. So it has like a scan of the map, and based off of the latest intel data, which, by the way, they said they could, anytime someone uploads a new PDF or a new image to like a file that they're able to scan, it's updating in real time. So it knows the position of everything, and it has, GPS searching through everything. So they have They then have it say, like, you know, alert me of any anomalies that you see on this map, and it will say, okay, well, an anomaly is that, you know, this tank here has moved forward this amount of space, it, you know, we weren't expecting that, blah, blah, blah. And then you can say, okay, give me three possible, like, pieces of action that I could do to help mitigate this risk or, you know, engage with this adversary. And it would say, okay, so, you know, over here you have, like, the 159th artillery, you could fire that at it, or over here you have like an airbase, you could fly an airplane over and, you know, try to shoot it, or there's this Team Omega here that has a bunch of anti-tank javelin missiles, you could send them up. So it has a bunch of different options, and then you could say, okay, send these options up to command control. It has the whole like military brief mapped out and sent over to your commanding officer, and then you can also say, all right, I'm interested in this, I would like to at the same time gather more intel, so send out a what's the best way to gather intel on this. They would say, okay, well, you could, you know, you could fly an airplane over it, you could use this type of team to go and spy on it, or you could use like some sort of drone. And you say, okay, use the one that requires the least amount of like humans. So they're like, all right, we select the drone. It would send in a drone to go fly over, take pictures. It would bring the pictures back to you immediately on the platform where you can analyze and also send to your higher ups to justify or decide if it is an actual threat or not. Really, really powerful technology and very, very interesting. Palantir, when they did this demo, which was, it's, you know, very, it looks like a very sophisticated piece of software, you know, showing live footage from airplanes of tanks and all sorts of things. It obviously got a lot of interest from a lot of different people, and their company has a lot of interest in that. So really interesting to see kind of how the defense industry is using this. It's like this large language model and decision-making based off of it is really powerful. Something I think that they're doing that is really useful is the fact that this isn't just like a black box of, you know, you ask like a ChatGPT, for example, based off of these things, what should I do? It's saying based off of these things and our current military doctrine and our, you know, engagement strategies that are X, Y, and Z and all of this data that we have of how we typically respond to these kind of things, what would you recommend the best thing to do that would have the least amount of casualties, that would, you know, neutralize the threat the fastest? You can have all your different stipulations in there. And it's based off of that. And unlike ChatGPT that is a black box, it will show you in the back end. You can kind of open up the hood and look at the back end and see which AI model, because you can actually put different types of AIs into here, merging multiple different AIs together to do these AIs that are trained for specific parts of these tasks. But you can actually open up the hood and look in the background and see which AI model made which decisions had to go to actual people, what, why, like which intel people were in the loop of, and which decisions were approved or suggested by people. So it's really transparent on, you know, it's not just like an AI is all of a sudden taking over the military and making all the decisions. It's really has a very clear mapped out, which I think is really important for transparency, especially in something as touchy as military operations, or as critical, I would say. And so it really maps out who's responsible for what, who made what decisions, and what the AI was doing. And I think it's interesting because it's not just saying like, you know, neutralize the threat. It's saying, give me some options. It creates options, and it, you know, it gives all the data about the options. It's like, you know, if you go and engage with this based off of, you know, the artillery here, it's, you know, 40 kilometers away. You have an 89% success rate of hitting it. The fuel level on the artillery is at like 14%. The personnel required, there's 8 people required to fire that. It's going to take about 18 minutes to get that system up and going. These are your assets that you have there. So it really gives you a lot of different data. And with all of these options that it lays out, it gives you all the data of why it picked those options, and lets, you know, obviously an actual person make the call on that. So this is not AI that is running and doing the whole thing. So I think it's really impressive technology. All obviously very scary thinking about AI being incorporated into the military, especially because when I look at this and I see a company coming out of America, I'm living in America, and I'm like, oh, great, this is more defense. But I think the scary thing is obviously China, Russia, all these other countries that could potentially be adversaries for me or for other countries around the world will be having similar advanced AI. And it almost becomes like an AI arms race where the most AI advanced country will win. And I think this isn't a surprise. Like, countries know this. I believe Vladimir Putin recently said that AI will be like a major determining factor between countries' success. Obviously, America is putting a lot of focus on AI. You hear a lot of talk out of China about AI and kind of what they're doing there. So really interesting to see how this is going to be integrated into the military. And that is what Palantir is currently working on. Now, in addition to kind of what Palantir is doing, I did want to just highlight really quick another company called Donovan that recently launched from Scale. So Scale is a software company. And I also will note that these softwares are definitely, you know, being used in the military, but they're also being used in other areas such as crisis management for companies as well. So they have like slightly changed versions of this where you essentially hook this into all of your company data. And if, you know, you're in a area and a hurricane is coming and you have like 10 stores down there, it can also help you to mitigate crises down there, make plans to evacuate, to lock down things, you know, what stock to move, maybe that's highly valuable, and a whole bunch of different decision-making things for people that, or for like companies as well. So these softwares kind of go into both of those, but I think right now a lot of the hype and things that we're hearing people talk about is coming in the defense area. So I will say with Donovan, they recently, you know, they kind of tout on their website the fact that the U.S. Defense Department used them to come in and kind of evaluate the current AI battlefield systems that they have to make sure that they were up to par and whatnot. And they also have a lot of, data pulled from the U.S. Army, the Defense Innovation Unit, the CDAO, the AFRL, and a bunch of other different organizations, including the Air Force, to like essentially create this AI model that is really good at this. And I'm assuming they're not, you know, I'm assuming the U.S. government giving out this type of data has exclusive contracts with them, so they're not going to go take U.S. government data on how we fight and go, you know, sell that to Russians or whatnot. But definitely is a highly contentious area that I'm sure people will be watching very closely. Again, with Donovan, just like Palantir, when you use the software, it's the same kind of idea where it'll open up a portal with a chat on one side and kind of a kind of like a map on the other side. In Donovan's demo, they asked it essentially like, hey, in the last 48 hours, what were all the ship movements of adversarial Navy vessels in, you know, this Asia Pacific region? It highlighted them on the map. It said, tell me if there's any anomalies in this. It highlighted one that was off course from what it was supposed to be doing. They were able to then go and get a flyby drone. They had help making the decision on getting the flyby drone to go and get more images. When they did the image scan, they saw that there was a higher level of radiation around the vehicle. And what was really interesting that Donovan did in the demo, it was beyond just like the documents that they had. They kind of branched out and said, is there anything in recent like publicity from that country related to higher levels of radiation and advancements in X, Y, and Z military weapons that would, you know, that would explain what this is? And it actually found a report, and then the report was in Chinese, and so then it had it translate the report into English, and they were able to package it and summarize it. So they're like, okay, summarize this entire report, and based off of the other things we've talked about, please put this into like a report I can send to my higher up commanding officer. And so I really see, anyways, they went through this whole exercise, and in the course of like 8 minutes, they went from, you know, find me an anomaly, gathered all the data they needed, and figured out kind of what was going on, and sent a report that they could then go and take a course of action, which doing like a flyby on an airplane to, you know, check what was going on with this vessel. So in the course of minutes, you can have these AIs do really complex tasks that would usually take military analysts days to do. And I think this is really going to accelerate the rate of protection in the defense industry. As wars go on, it's going to be scary to see the speed that AI models are able to do things. If what I would be worried about, to be honest, in like a forward-thinking manner, is obviously when you have to get like human approvals and reviews of different things, it takes longer for a human to look over all the data, make sure everything checks out, and then be like, decide like, okay, it's 18 minutes to do this course of action and 10 minutes to do that course of action. So we're going to go with this one or that one. What I would be worried about is different militaries around the world that are deciding, hey, we're just going to, you know, to make this thing faster, we're just going to say remove human intervention unless it has like a probability of more than 20 casualties, and just like they're going to make decisions like that. That will be a variable in some of these AI models where the AI is going to be making some decisions of life or death, and in the effort to speed up response times, people will be removed from the equation. That is what I think I'm most concerned about, is not necessarily, I think it's amazing, especially for the military defending myself, to have tools like this that can help it make better decisions faster. But what scares me is the probability that these eventually are, the human element will be removed from this, and the fact that an AI will be rapidly iterating and making decisions that will affect human life. So I think it's going to be an area to definitely focus on deeply. Do I think it's a bad area we shouldn't be focusing on? It's hard to say, because in the concept of national defense, if we are not developing these, China, Russia, other geopolitical adversaries will. And so I definitely think we 100% need these tools. You know, it's like the atomic bomb. I wish it didn't exist, but because it does, and because that technology is there and possible, like, it definitely needs to be developed where you are in order to be a defense. So it's going to be really interesting. I think AI will be heavily integrated in the defense industry in the future going forward, and I'm sure it already is now to some degree. But in fact, I was recently talking to a friend who told me that while he was in South Africa, it was in the military a couple years ago, and gathering intelligence was one of his first introductions to, actually not South Africa, it was like the Congo. It was one of his first introductions to AI. They had these really advanced AI systems that were tracking people and facial recognition, and very interesting to hear about. You know, he was like, why are we developing this in the Congo instead of the US, and other questions like that. There's all sorts of ethical questions. Of course, we probably test all of this AI stuff in other countries, not farther away from our, you know, US citizens that might complain or whatnot. So it's really interesting, but definitely the AI is definitely already integrated into the defense system, and this is kind of going to be the next step where it helps to arrange everything and make battle plans and suggestions on the battlefield. So definitely an area we're going to be watching in the future. So stay tuned as we continue to discuss this topic.